ladies and gentlemen, and fellow golfers, for your entertainment.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa, brought to you by the Hagen Oaks Golf Super Shop, America's most awarded golf facility. Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality.
You are listening to the Golf to Go Radio Hour right here on Sactown Sports 1140. Hi, everyone. I'm Frank LaRosa. Thanks for being with us. My partner, Scott Marsh, is beside, and Scott, pretty exciting show we have on tap for today.
No doubt. A very special show. You were down at the Langley, the great charity event at Pebble Beach. Obviously, it's a marquee event down there and a lot of special guests, including yourself, a part of it. And this show is really going to encapsulize all of that.
We have Sir Nick Faldo on the show. We have Steve Young. They were both the honorees of this event. And Peter Jacobson, who was our celebrity host, will be with us as well. So we have a lot to discuss. But I have to say that this being the 15th annual of the Langley, it really was a very, very exciting event. And I think that maybe we even had the most people we've ever had for the dinner. And then there's certainly golf the next day. But both of them on stage were really, really good. They were, you know, they were fun. They were candid, and I think they really enjoyed themselves as well. So I think anybody that happened to attend that Langley was really excited. And then, of course, the next day there's the golf tournament played on the links or the Pebble Beach golf links. And what a great day it was, Scott. I think it was 104 degrees here that day, and it was maybe got up to about 67 that day. So it was a lot of fun.
No doubt you had a great time. And just for our listeners, again, maybe you can explain the Langley. I'm not sure everybody knows exactly how special that event is in the honor of that individual.
You know, the Northern California PGA Foundation was looking for, for their really exciting fundraiser. And they came down to the fact that they were going to name it after Jim Langley, who was the 34-year head golf professional at Cypress Point, a man that's been called a saint by some, a pro's pro. I mean, he was an incredible human being. And unless you ever had a chance to know him, it's pretty hard to describe Jim and have people really believe that that a man could be that good, but he was incredible. I remember when we put his name on it, Jim said, "Well, I don't think people are going to know what a Langley is." And after 15 years now, I think they certainly do. We started off with Arnold Palmer, went to Ken Venturi. It was Johnny Miller, Jack Nicklaus, Billy Casper, Hale Irwin. I mean, the list, Nancy Lopez, Annika Sorenstam, the honorees over the years were just incredible. And this year, as I mentioned, Sir Nick Faldo and Steve Young were our honorees. And the money is raised to support not only the scholarship fund in Jim Langley's name to high school students moving into college, but primarily for PGA Hope, which is a program that really uses the game of golf to help veterans come back, actually in many cases save their lives. I mean, it sounds really dramatic, but to hear them speak about the places they were in their minds and not going out of the house and finding the game of golf that not only gave them a reason to be outside again, but gave them a reason to be back with the people that they knew, the other veterans. And that part of it is so important. And I think over the course of this program, they've helped something like 1600 veterans already. And to a person, both men and women, whether they were in combat or not, the issues that they go through, every one of them are real candid in saying how PGA Hope has, if it didn't save their life, it certainly changed their lives. So it's really exciting to actually listen to the veterans talk that night as well.
Yeah, what a remarkable night. And of course, Jim Langley was a head pro for a long time at Cypress Point, and just a beautiful man. And maybe just as special for you as everything else, you got to play with Jim Langley's family at Pebble Beach.
Yeah, Mrs. Langley invited me to play on the family team this year, and it really was a lot of fun. And I'll tell you, I don't know that I've maybe never played an 8 o'clock tee time at Pebble Beach. I know I've played in the late morning, but whether that was the reason the greens were so good or not, I don't know. But the greens were better than I've ever seen at Pebble Beach. I mean, certainly for tournaments, they're probably like that. But I've never been invited to the AT&T. So I was really impressed with the conditioning of Pebble Beach, and we were playing the week just prior to the concours, so it was a big week, not only for us but for Pebble Beach as well.
Yeah, no doubt, a lot of good stuff going on in the Bay, and just what a remarkable event. And again, some great interviews upcoming here.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to, prior to the banquet that night, to have some one-on-one time with both Sir Nick and Steve Young. And I found them both very, just really fascinating people. They're different people. You know, Nick Faldo was number one in the world for 97 weeks or something like that. And basically, I think when you listen to the interview, you'll hear that, you know, Nick was looking for a sport that that he could play by himself. And he said, because I was so bad at swimming, I took up golf. Well, you know, whether that's the whole story or not is beside the point. But he was, again, very candid. And, you know, on television, he sounds, I'm not, you know, he's certainly not grumpy is the word, but, you know, he's officious, I guess. And I just found him very approachable. We were laughing 3 minutes into the interview. It really was a very good time, and I think our listeners are going to enjoy that interview with Sir Nick.
Oh, I know! I can't wait to hear it. And then, of course, Steve Young. There's not many more gracious people in all of sport than Steve Young.
You know, Steve Young. I was standing at the balcony, and he was coming in through the back patio and coming up the stairs. And I was at the top of the stairs waiting, and I said, sneaking in the back door, huh? And he says, that's the only way. I stuck out my hand. I said, I'm Frank LaRosa. And he said, no, I remember you from our interview. And then he went on with about a 2 minute reprisal of what the interview was about, and how much he appreciated the kinds of questions I had asked him, saying that other than, in his mind, there was Michael Wilbon asks good questions. And so it's Michael Wilbon and me, apparently, and everyone else seems to ask the same question. So, you know, before we even sat down for the interview, you know, it was just a really warm feeling between the two of us. You know, him remembering the interview we did last year, and then, you know, just being so gracious with me about it.
So what you're saying is you're going to take Tony Kornheiser's spot and pardon the interruption, and you're going to be leaving golf to go here momentarily.
I doubt anybody's going to be looking for me, but in any event, you know, I guess if Steve had anything to do with it, I might have a shot at it.
That's hilarious. Now, of course, the question I want to know, and every listener wants to know, how did you play at Pebble?
You know, it was a shamble, so that, you know, some of the Langley boys can hit it a long way. And that put us in a position that it made it kind of easier to reach greens. So I think we finished as a team, 11th or 12th out of 20 teams, 24 teams. So, you know, we didn't embarrass ourselves, but we didn't go home with any hardware. On the other hand, it's probably not in good taste to go home with the hardware.
No, that's true. You can't win it all as the host. That's for sure.
That's right. And of course, Peter Jacobson is our celebrity host. And we had this great interview with him as well. So that's all coming up today on the Golf to Go Radio Hour. And it was really exciting to be part of the Langley, certainly, and to give back to my old friend, Jim Langley, and to the Northern California PGA Foundation. And much of that will come through in the show today. So I think there's plenty for our listeners to keep them interested. And we will be back with more on the Golf to Go Radio Hour right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
This is the 2023 The Langley here at the Inn at Spanish Bay. 34 years head professional Jim Langley was reluctant to put his name on this, and this is the 15th year, and we are so thrilled to have Sir Nick Faldo with us. Nick, welcome
to
the Langley. You know, what a career. What is it, 97 weeks, you were number one in the world.
That's a long time back, yeah.
You won six majors and, you know, 40-plus tournaments and in the World Golf Hall of Fame. That's quite a career. Where did it all start, though?
Who put
a club in your hands the first time?
Television.
Really?
Yeah, I was a young lad watching, time flies now. So way back, 1971, I'm watching the Masters. You're back in England, good old BBC. You obviously came across those days under the Atlantic. And my line was I was a sportsman looking for a sport. You know, I love my sports, and I needed to find a sport where, you know, the practicing or the training was fun, really enjoyable. And I, you know, I tried cycling and swimming, obviously all the other school stuff, all the obvious stuff at school. And then finally, then I saw this thing called golf, and I said, well, I want to try that. And that was really it. I went literally the Monday after the Masters, I said to my parents, right, I want to try that. They didn't know anything about it. It took me down to the local club. I booked my half a dozen lessons, and that really was my start. And so, and as I said, the best bit was, I'm an only child, so the best bit, I could go and hit whack golf balls in an evening.
Sure.
And I was engrossed by it. You know, I was fascinated. And it was, and it's, as you later know, I mean, every single golf shot requires your attention and a decision and all sorts of things as you get into the game. But I just love going whacking golf balls. And I used to aim at a long jump pit, funny enough. I used to sneak up to another school, and they had a line, obviously from a football pitch, I guess, down to a long jump pit. And I had a little bag of balls. My mum was a dressmaker, and she made me a little material bag, and I rummaged and found 20 balls in the bushes. And it's hilarious. I used to hit, and I'd be mad if I missed that long jump pit. Well, you know, like 20 years later, I went back and looked at that long jump pit, and, you know, and it's this big. And I thought, it's typical. That's, you know, it's all these little things that trained you or focused you right from the word go. And that's and the greatest thing about this game is here I am. We're 50 plus years later, and I still love to go and tip a bag of balls out and whack them off from a so isn't that great?
What was your first professional tournament like?
I played the French Open, so I had a very good and a quick amateur career. I had a great year in 75. I won English amateur, British youth, the Berkshire Trophy, you know, and I missed out on the Walker Cup in timing, and I thought, well, might as well turn pro. So I actually turned pro right before I was 19, even.
Mm-hmm.
April the 14th, 1976, I turned pro. And then my next first tournament I could get into, because you had to apply and all sorts of, was the French Open in June. So I went off to Le Touquet, and it's funny, I can still remember it, because I had to do the Monday qualifying. And, you know, it's back, it was different then. I got in the taxi, and I said, it'd take me to so-and-so golf club, because I had to play this qualifying round. And the taxi driver says, is it golf? Whereas we don't play golf around here. And I think, well, that's a good start. So, you know, it's completely different to the way they're treated on tour now. So it was, you know, and I, a typical Faldo, I think I shot 3 71s and a 72.
Wow.
You know, and I won about 60 pounds, you know, $100 sort of thing. And that was my start. And, I'd love to be in this era now when they're winning a million. when you can finish fourth and win $500,000.
Yeah.
I mean, God, that would be kind of nice, wouldn't it? Yeah.
What? Maybe you just answered that question, but I was going to say, what would the Nick Faldo of today say to that young Nick Faldo starting out so many years ago?
What would he say to him? I've no idea. I mean, it's like anything. Be patient and. And, you know, and another cool line is to say, everything's going to happen to you once. You know, you're going to break a rule and you're going to have to call a shot on yourself. You might be late. I actually was never late. So that never happened the once, you know. Didn't get, oh, yes, I was. No, I was. Tell a lie. I was late. Once. You get a 2-shot penalty for that. And because at the time you're livid and furious. But I think if you, and it puts you off probably. And I think you've got to say to yourself, look, everything is going to happen once, and then and go, okay, tick it off the list, and don't let it really upset the yourself and the day and that sort of thing. And you have to be pretty resilient because a lot of things happen, you know, and you've got to keep your focus and all that sort of thing. So, well, it's probably 101 things you.
Well, I love that one. That one's pretty good. Obviously, you had an incredible career, and then you started the second career with CBS Television. What are the differences between, you know, actually being out there and playing and kind of watching others struggle through it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I tried to prepare for TV as I would as a golfer. I loved going out and walking the golf course. I used to sneak out, which actually was good for me, because if you're on in the afternoon, I could go up to the course quite often in the morning at 7 o'clock, and I go and walk the course at 8, so it's physically good for me. I get a good look at the golf course. So I like to prepare still as a golfer, because sure. I like to tell the viewers, you know, the golfing stuff. I was not really wasn't my role, the stat man. You know, I like to hopefully look in the guy's eyes, and even early in the round, like the seventh hole, he may really love a shot or hate a shot, and it can obviously have an impact on the rest of the day. So I'm trying to just be observant and think like a golfer, and so I like to prepare like a golfer. And, you know, and if you get time to talk to the guys, that sort of thing, you can tell them what they're trying to do and how they do it and that sort of thing. But really, I was very much the, you know, the real moment. I'm the how, what, and why man. Yeah, how's he going to do it? Right. What's he going to do? And why did that happen? And so I was trying to keep it as simple as that and let everybody else do all the stat stuff.
You know, I watched your final broadcast, and that was very emotional for you.
I got a little carried away. I know. There was obviously some deep stuff going on there. Sure. You know, the guys have been good to me. You know, I obviously got on great with Jim and Frank and Ian became a lot closer. You know, I've known Ian from some of the early 80s when he came over from Australia. And so we actually spent time. And then you disappear off. It's, you know, time's terrible, isn't it? You suddenly disappear from friends or whatever for 20 years. And then we came back together and we actually got on so well as a group. And boy, did we make each other laugh. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was the fun bit. I wish we'd recorded all those years the rubbish that we talked about in the commercial break, because some of it was good. Some of it was funny stuff. You know, back from the Gary McCord days, you can imagine, sometimes we'd go off at a tangent and it was just, actually, we'd be crying. And then we got to come back. And that's why Nance was so good, because, as we said, he was a glue that stuck us together, because we'd be like lunatics. And then everybody was trying to outdo everybody, which was funny. You know, all our puns. Frank was great. Frank and I used to just... We'd joust over who could make the worst pun about something. And everybody's going, oh, God, no. You know, we were trying to come up with the cheesiest line or word. So you can tell we had such a laugh. And it was... So I guess that was... I knew that was going to end in that way. Mm-hmm. I'm still doing bits and bobs. And I was disappointed that CBS didn't want me to do some of the bigger stuff, you know, a short season. So yeah, it was a tough time thinking that the serious, you know, the full season being an analyst would kind of come to a close.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have a deep love for junior golf.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, thanks. I've had my Faldo series for 27 years now. I could have cut a long story short. Here we are now. We're still pursuing new angles, new tours. We have a foundation, Faldo Foundation Tour, which is basically from the 7 to 12-year-olds, because that is actually the really exploding market. Lots of youngsters playing golf. Obviously, COVID... You know, mums and dads to get out in the fresh air, and it's a great sport to be out there doing that. And then at the other end, I have a Faldo Elite Tour, where there's obviously, when the kids are really serious and their goal is to get themselves on tour, I'm trying to create them an opportunity to play my events, which will give them starts on our European Challenge Tour, which obviously will lead to the DP World Tour. So yeah, I'm trying to create a competitive path. Now I have an Elite Tour as well, which is basically for the lads 18 to 25, who their goal is to get out on tour. So by playing in some of my events across Europe, which is great, you know, they win spots onto the Challenge Tour, so it gives them professional starts, which is, you know, something I never had when I regret's not the right word, but I just didn't have that opportunity. I'd love to have played as an amateur in a pro event just to find out how good I really was. So I think that's very cool that the kids can then go and play those events to gain some more experience. Because that's the bottom, for me, that's a simple bottom line. That's how you learn, isn't it? Absolutely. Throw yourself in the deep end and find out if you can sink or swim in there, you know.
So one day you get a call from, I'm guessing from Peter Jacobson, saying, Sir Nick, we'd like to have you come to the Langley and be our 2023 PGA honoree. What did that mean?
It actually happened the year before. We've obviously with Huey Lewis. I'm friends with Huey. So Peter called me and said, hey, will you do a couple of lines, you know, as a piece for Huey? And so I did that last year back, probably 2 years back now. And then he called me and said, oh, would I be the honoree and come and this year? And I said, yeah, sure. I'm not doing much in August right now. We're up in Bozeman. We based ourselves in Bozeman. I thought, oh, that'd be quite nice. Funny, Bozeman last year was 100 degrees. So we thought, well, that'd be good. We'd get out of the... We knew it would be like this, because it's always like this on the coast. I thought, well, that'd be a nice break from the 100 degrees of Bozeman. Bozeman's been 70 degrees, been gorgeous. So, here we are. So I'm very honoured, obviously. It's a great cause, and some great names have been honoured over the years. So I'm very, very honored, proud to be here.
Well, we're thrilled to have you. I want to let you go, but I just want to ask you one more question, because we mentioned Bozeman. I'm thinking fishing. Were you a better player or a fisherman?
I'm a better fisherman now on golf. My golf is going that way. I don't mind. My golf goes going that way. The body's kind of saying, you've got to be kidding. You're going to want to hit another bucket of balls. And now my fishing is like, how well can I get that fly to land, you know, right there? So, yeah, I'm more keen that... And the great thing about fishing is you have to have lots of rods. So I have to have a little treat. I have to go down to the rod shop and have a little spend. And, oh, that's the latest. Oh, yes. So it's like golf. It's like having a new driver.
Right.
It's like, oh, I think I need a new rod, which I don't, but I do. So I'm addicted to all of that. So it's fun. And we bought a little bit of land next to the river, just outside of Bozeman, so we're about to make camp there. We're about to start the project, build ourselves a farmhouse and what have you. And
beautiful.
And we love it. We love the lifestyle. It's nice to get away, but it's nice to pop out and do some stuff as well.
Sir Nick Faldo, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you spending a few minutes with me and appreciation of you being here for the Langley and in Jim Langley's name. Thank you so much. We're honored to have you with us.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thank you.
This is the 2023 The Langley. Sir Nick Faldo, the PGA Tour honoree.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
This is the 2023 The Langley, named after Jim Langley, the 34-year head professional at Cypress Point Club and a great friend to all of us. And we have a fundraiser that, after 15 years, has had Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus and Billy Casper and Tom Watson and Johnny Miller, and I mean, the list just goes on and on. And we are really, really excited this year to welcome Mr. Steve Young, Hall of Fame quarterback, three-time Super Bowl winner, Super Bowl most valuable player. Steve, the accolades go on and on and on, but we're really excited to have you at the Langley.
My pleasure. It was an honor to get the call and the interview, and I'm really grateful. And these are so many of those guys you mentioned I'd had the opportunity to meet and to play golf with. And so I'm, you know, I didn't learn golf as a kid. I wish I would have.
Uh-huh.
I played football. Didn't last, and they kick you out really quickly in football. You know, they don't let you hang around. And now I just wish I would have played golf. So that was my big mistake. But it's an honor to be part of the Langley, and especially an honor of the great Jim Langley. And his, I told his wife, his reflexive kindness. There was no status with him. You know, didn't matter whether it was someone super famous or just someone just to walk off the street. And I really appreciate those kind of personalities.
Absolutely. He was a gem. You talk about not playing golf as a youngster and wish you had. I don't know any of us wannabe golfers that that don't feel that way. But I know that growing up, family was very important to you, and and your dad had a great effect on the man you've become today.
For sure. I will say something about my mother. My mother is a peacemaker, and she's a professional peacemaker, and I think there's a lot of peace in our home, even as our multi-generations now, and I want to honor her for that. But my dad was, he wasn't mean, or he was tough-minded, but he was kind. Like I said, another, you know, kind of inspiration to me to be able to be excellent and be able to be someone that has like high expectations and about, you know, choose whatever you want to do, but whatever you choose, be great. And yet, be kind. You know, it's like those kinds of things. And my dad always told me that I had to have a plan and a dream. Two things in my pocket at all times. The plan was what I knew the 80% chance I could get done. And then a dream, a 1% chance dream that you want in your pocket at all times. And I always appreciated that, because my dream when I was a kid was to play an NFL quarterback. And one day when I made it, I said, "Dad, the dream became the plan." And then my dad told me, "No, always that you're not going to play very long, and that goes so quick. What's the?" So I even today he asked me, "What's your dream? What's the plan?" You know, so that you have two things in your pocket at all times. And so I turned it on him the other day. I said, "Dad, so you're 87 years old. What's the dream?" He didn't bat an eye. He said, 110. So that's his dream, is to live to 110.
I love it. Positive. Yeah, you got to be positive. Yeah, we were talking earlier before we started the cameras rolling here about going through life and doing what you do. You know, you were a football player. You're an attorney. And the fact that you've gained this worldwide notoriety because of being a football player, you know, is somewhat surprising to you. And I find that very charming, that that, you know, that's not uppermost in your mind. Uppermost in your mind is probably being a family man. Huh?
I always dreamed of being a family. I thought that would be my greatest legacy, and I think that it's been in my mind since I was a kid. I didn't want to fail at that. I think of all the things that I could fail at in the world, I didn't want to fail at that. And so it's been, you know, I'm not perfect, but I work at it. I work at my kids. I don't have to ask them, but certainly a big part of my, but I started late. I didn't get married until I was 38 years old. And so my goal now is to live really long so I can see my kids grow up and all of their lives. But my life kind of emerged in front of me. I had dreams, but there was no sense that I was going to be great at anything. And I think it just kind of, we just kind of kept marching on. And some luck, some great people around me, angels really in my life, and an opportunity. And I'm really grateful for all of that, because, you know, here I am with four kids in college and great family, and yet I was able to find my dream on the field as well.
Game of golf brings us together, and as we sort of mentioned a little while ago, we all want to be better. I mean, every tour player I know wants to be better. What is it about the game that attracts you, that kind of, you know, gets your juices flowing?
I appreciate that, Frank. What I love about golf is that it's a chance to harness your humanity. Playing football is a reaction game, and you can prepare all you want, and then you just have to go. It's like a madness. You know, you just play, and hopefully something good happens. Golf is very, as you know, very quiet. It's singular, and it really focuses on your ability to harness what makes us all human, which is nervousness and fears or anxiety or things in your mind. And golf is, you have to harness the humanity in you. You have to figure out a way to put it behind you. And I enjoy it for that particular reason. I find it the challenge is never ending, and I love that. I love that about the game, and there's so little perfection, you know. And I think there's always that little moment when things all come together, and you say, "I've got it," and then off it goes.
Where'd it go?
It disappeared overnight, literally.
I know philanthropy is very important to you. You have your own foundation, and you know, I'm sure that there are certain charities that are dear to your heart. But here you are for the Langley. In support of PGA Hope, which is bringing veterans back to a life they once had. You know, when you got the call to come here and be honored. What's the first thing that went through your head?
Well, how grateful I was for the game. And we've raised over $100 million, our little Forever Young Foundation, all in golf tournaments. All in charity golf tournaments over 30 years, three a year. And we're very efficient at it, very good at it. And golf has given us the platform to go and help all these children's charities. Now PGA Hope, I help a group up at Snowbird Ski Resort. They do a year-round program for vets out of the Veterans Administration VA Hospital in Salt Lake City. And the miracles that happen as they are able to now go out and find you know, kind of that's the ability to get out on the mountain and have that, you know, finally get free in a way. And so there's been a lot of rehabilitation, a lot of reduced medication, a lot of things that have happened. So the PGA Hope is dear to me on that point too, because we have to, people of service, we've got to take care of them. So golf has been, I mean, I have a passion for golf, and it's also been, I don't know where I wouldn't be able to raise funds for these children's charities if I didn't have golf. I have to have golf. So,
I think I kind of alluded a moment ago that you know, that I've had an opportunity, a great opportunity, been fortunate to interview all of the greats of the game, and when I talk to my friends about people I've interviewed and mention your name, they are more excited about having interviewed Steve Young than Jack Nicklaus.
I'd like to follow up on that, Frank, because that doesn't make any sense to me, but I'll just take your word for it.
It's absolutely true. Steve, you not only were you an athletic hero to so many, watching you on television and so on and so forth, but I think what people appreciate you is your humanity. Mm-hmm. And who you are as a person and as a man, and a little of that came through in our conversation today, and it's really exciting to me to sit down with you and just have a conversation.
Oh, Frank, very kind of you, and I'm honored again in the name of the great Jim Langley and all that he is and was and all that I aspire to be. I hope that I can pay it forward, you know, and inspire people. And so, like, we're all just, I had heroes, and Roger Staubach was my hero, and he didn't know me, but he inspired me. He made a huge difference in my life, and I think that I just want to pay that forward however I possibly can. So it's great to be with you.
I think you're doing it. Right. Steve Young, this is the 2023 The Langley Steve Young honoree.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa on Sactown Sports.
You are listening to the Golf to Go Radio Hour right here on Sactown Sports 1140. I'm Frank LaRosa, welcoming my good friend, Mr. Peter Jacobson. Peter is a, Peter, it's hard to describe you. You're a professional golfer. You're a commentator on the Golf Channel and NBC. You are a singer, a songwriter, a musician. Your Peter Jacobson Sports puts on events, and one of those we're going to talk about, the Langley. You're a busy man.
Well, Frank, I wouldn't have it any other way. I have been so blessed in my life. When I went to University of Oregon, played golf there, and then when I decided to embark on this crazy PGA Tour career, that a lot of opportunities have come my way. And my parents always said, look, when an opportunity knocks, make sure you open the door. So I've done that, and it has been a great ride over, 47 years now.
You know, we first met, it has to be 10, 12, 14 years ago now at the Golf Expo here in Sacramento, and you were a special guest through the Cleveland Golf Company, and you entertained our audience not only with a Q&A with me, but you also did your impressions, which you did so many years, and you know, kept people chuckling, especially with the one with the golf balls in your shirt and Arnold Palmer. You're a very entertaining man, in addition to being a very approachable man, and I think that's an incredible combination, which makes you endearing to everybody.
Well, it's nice of you to say thank you. I remember when I first came out on tour. Well, let me go back. When I was in high school and college, my father taught us how to play golf, our whole family. And he would use examples of people like Arnold Palmer to hit a hook or Lee Trevino to hit a fade. And so I just incorporated their swings, which were in my mind. And I'd study their swings on video. And I eventually got to where I was doing that with them. on the range, just kind of having fun, cutting up, cracking my friends up. And when I got on tour, my very good friend, D.A. Weibring, who played the tour for so many years, he said, let's do this in a clinic. So that's what we did. I rolled it out. We did a junior clinic. I think it was in Tucson, the first one I ever did. And then D.A. said, wow, I wonder how Johnny Miller would hit it. I wonder how Arnold Palmer would hit it. I wonder what Craig Stadler would do. And it kind of built into an array of 8 or 10 guys, Hubert Green, Doug Sanders, Gary Player. I'm trying to think of all the guys I do. And it became a bit of a show, and it was fun. You mentioned the balls down the shirt. That's Craig Stadler. Because as you know, Craig had a tendency to be a little bit on the heavier side. So I poured golf balls down my shirt and pranced around like Craig. But it's hard to do the kids today, Frank, because everybody's got a picture perfect swing. Everybody works with a guru, with video, and they really know how to swing the golf club. Unlike the guys from the era just before me and maybe during my era, where it was all done by feel. Golf used to be played by feel. Now it's played by video and through technology. But it's been a fun time through my whole career, meeting people like you, talking about the game. The game of golf is one to be shared. It doesn't matter if you've got two beginners playing with two tour pros in a pro-am. They can share. They can talk about life experiences. Ability and the score when you're having fun doesn't matter. In fact, that's the least important thing. The most important thing is the camaraderie and the interpersonal relationships you can have on a golf course.
You know, I think you really hit the nail on the head with that. And so many people are scared to try the game for the first time because it looks difficult, because people say it's difficult. But many of us just kind of walk away from a round of golf thinking about the laughs we had, the stories we shared with our friends, and the score is somewhat immaterial. And that's a hard concept for people to grab onto because, you know, in athletics, we're used to shooting a score or trying to win or whatever. And golf is so much different, as you say. And that's, you know, part of what makes the game so extraordinary.
The game of golf is unlike any other sport, where not only can you join with your family and friends, no matter what their ability level, but you can raise hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of dollars for charity through the game of golf by bringing four total strangers from four different walks of life together. And by the end of 18 holes, they are lifelong friends because they may have 5, 6, 8, 10 things in relationship to each other. And to me, that's the most important part. I don't compete anymore professionally on the tour. I'm almost 70, and it's hard to hit the ball far enough playing on the PGA Tour and the Champions Tour to compete. So when I go out and play now, I don't really focus on my golf. I know I'm not going to hit the ball as straight and as far as I used to, and I'm not going to shoot the scores that I used to. But I really get into my playing partners. I love to sit in the cart and BS with somebody I don't know, share different thoughts about kids and about business. Let's not forget, Frank, golf is at the intersection of enterprise in this country, whether it's business, it's legal, it's finance, it's medical. Everybody, in my mind, everybody seems to want to play golf. And when you do, as I said, you bring people from different walks of life together for a lot of shared experience.
You mentioned the incredible gift that golf has given to the world of charity. And you and I just finished an event which has been going on. This was the 15th year for the Langley, which was named after Jim Langley, the 34-year head professional at Cypress Point and a friend to both of us. You got involved, 6 years ago, I guess, when you were honored at the Langley. And you seemed pretty excited about the event. And you jumped in with both feet with Peter Jacobson Sports getting involved. And I have to say that the event has certainly taken an uptick with your ability to get on the phone and call a Nick Faldo like we just did for our past Langley. So talk a little bit about, first of all, being honored by the Langley yourself and what that meant to you and the transition you made into being kind of a producer of the event.
My family, we grew up in Portland, Oregon, where I am coming to you right now. David, Peter, Paul, and Susan, my two brothers and sister, my mom and dad, we used to drive to Pebble Beach every spring break. We would jump in the car and we'd drive down and we would play Cypress Point, Pebble Beach, Spyglass, Corral de Tierra, Old Del Monte. We would spend a week with our clubs on our shoulders playing 36 a day as a family. We all love golf. In fact, at one point, all six of us, we had a combined handicap of 24. Wow. So we were all pretty proficient players. And we got along for the most part as families go. But one of the individuals we met during those trips, my dad had a friend that was a member at Cypress Point, and he got us on Cypress Point, and I met Jim Langley, one of the nicest men and one of the most important figures in the game of golf, I think, from a club standpoint, because he was welcoming, he was kind, and he was encouraging. And then when I turned pro and played on the tour, my first tour event I ever played in was the AT&T at Pebble Beach. And I remember always sneaking over at the invitation of Jim and other Cypress Point members to go play Cypress Point during the week. So that started a really long relationship that I had with Jim Langley. It wasn't on a constant basis. It was occasionally whenever I would get to Pebble. And then from there, after my tour career ended and I was honored by the Langley, you and everyone with the Northern California PGA, which I thank you for that, I was honored along with Jim Nance. And I'll never forget that evening. We had more fun telling stories with you and with Jim, just sharing, laughing, talking about the game of golf. And from that point, I was enamored with the event. It not only raised money for Jim Langley Scholarship Foundation, but also for the PGA of America's program, their initiative to help our veterans, PGA Hope. Hope stands for helping our patriots everywhere. So for me to jump in, I never served. My father was a torpedo bomber off the USS Intrepid, which is now in the New York Harbor. And my father didn't want to talk about the war, but we eventually did learn more about his involvement in the war. So I've always been committed to helping all branches of the military in any way I possibly could. So to be involved with Langley, number one, it was golf. Number two, Jim Langley. Number three, Cypress Point and Pebble Beach. And number four, helping our patriots everywhere. I mean, this event is tailor-made for somebody like me to jump in with both feet and do what I can to help. And it's been, Frank, it's been my honor the last 5 or 6 years to work with you and everybody on behalf of the event.
And what a help you've been. You know, you've been able to pick up the phone and talk to Annika Sorenstam and to Sir Nick Faldo, as I just mentioned a little while ago, David Faraday. We've had some incredible guests for the event that have been honored through you. And this year, I mean, I don't know how, Peter, I don't know how we topped this year with Sir Nick Faldo and Steve Young. What an entertaining evening. And both of them on stage with you, they were remarkable. I think they really were touched by the charity and by the veterans, but their ability to kind of open up and let us kind of peek inside who they were, I think was remarkable.
Well, you take two people like Nick Faldo and Steve Young. Obviously, Steve Young, Super Bowl champion from the San Francisco 49ers, a lawyer. One thing I learned when I was studying Steve is that he won a Super Bowl and got his law degree in the same year, which is pretty remarkable. There was nobody in the room that had done that. And then Sir Nick Faldo, who has been, he's one of the most accomplished people in the game of golf, along with giving back to charity through his Faldo series of helping kids around the world become more involved in the game of golf and through education. So, but you're right. When I think it impacted me this way too, when I came for the Langley and I learned about the veteran struggles, the men and women that are involved with the Langley, it touches you in a way that it's hard to explain. But when you hear the stories, and you actually have a chance to understand what PGA Hope does, it takes away all your ego and all the bravado, and it puts you into the frame of mind of, what can I do to help? And I think that's what we had with Steve Young, and that's what we had with Nick Faldo. Both great guys, both guys I've known forever, and both guys that I know are better off for having been with us at the Langley. I would say the same for David Faraday, Annika Sorenstam, Huey Lewis, the great Huey Lewis, and Mark O'Meara, and Bob Lurie. These people that have been honored along with so many others in the history of the Langley. Frank, I commit to you, it will be better next year, and it'll be better the next year. We will continue to raise the bar, raise more money, and have more fun.
I like all of that goes together so well, Peter. I really love that. You were going to be coming back to Sacramento next month, October 15th and 16th, for the First Tee Invitational with Peter Jacobson. It's an event where you follow, let's say in the past 2 years, a guy named Lee Trevino and another guy named Gary Player. And I just want to kind of tease a little bit about that, because we're going to have you back next week on the show to talk about that. But we're really excited to have you back in Sacramento for that event.
I've been to Sacramento so many times. I played in the U.S. Senior Open at Del Paso. We've got some very good friends. My good friend Tim Berg, who really was one of my teachers when I was growing up here in Portland. And we have some friends from school. So I love the Sacramento area. But most importantly, I just love what the First Tee does. That is an organization that I remember when it was founded, I think 30 years ago, something like that. And it has quickly become one of the most successful youth development programs in the country. Now, it was focused on golf, but it's so impactful to kids. But I go back and I've always said, Frank, if we got more kids playing the game of golf, we would be much better off in this country. People understand each other when they play golf, because there is a self-reliance and there's a responsibility that goes along with the game. We call our own rules. We call our own penalties. And nobody's there for you but you. So it teaches that self-reliance. And nobody's there to help you but me. I've got to figure this out. I've got to figure it out quickly. So I'm excited about the First Tee. I'm excited about coming back to Sacramento and again, raising a lot of money, saying hi to a lot of friends, meeting new people, and just having a ton of fun.
Peter's going to be back on the show next week to talk a little bit more about that event. But if you want to get a jump on it, thefirsttsacramento.org, check under the events page and you'll find out more. Peter, thank you so much for all your efforts with the Langley, and certainly coming up, I'm going to look forward to being on stage with you at the First Tee Invitational. Well, Scott, I don't know about you. That's pretty terrific show we just had here with the Golf to Go Radio Hour with Sir Nick Faldo, Steve Young, and Peter Jacobson. That's going to be a tough one to top next week, huh?
I don't know how we're going to do it, but you know what? We're going to do our best to try, but you're right. That was an amazing show. And, you know, we already start off with Peter Jacobson again for next week, so that's a good start.
Yeah, and really excited to talk about the First Tee Invitational presented by Demon Partners and Peter coming to Sacramento on October 15th and 16th. We will get to more of that next week on the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sactown Sports 1140. Thanks for joining us. Get out and play the game. It's fun.